Hey guys, this is Ryan Bain. Thanks for listening to this week's message. Hope that this blesses you.
Good evening. So good to see all you all. It's been a good week. Kurt and Jackie and Heather were asking, what's my highlight? My highlight is I got my bow lined up this week. So that was my highlight. So I'm ready to roll now. It hurts though. The older I get, the harder it is to pull that thing back. Like Jesus' name, I need to get in the gym or something. But anyway, that was fun. My hallelujah, and I'm just telling you all this. I got to minister at Mount Zion Church, Hispanic Church, on Sunday, and just had an amazing time. There were tons of young men in there, and felt like the Lord was really ministering to them. And so it was great, and I got to sing with them a little bit, and that was fun. And there was one part of the song, and I told them, I was like, I didn't realize I could sing fluently in Spanish. And they looked at me, and their eyes got real big. I was like, yeah, there was this one part in the song where you all said, la, 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 and I said, I'm there. I can sing fluently in Spanish. So I understood every word of that. But it was good. It was good to be there. I hope, share a few practical things tonight, just around walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like we're in a little different vein. And I know I say that all the time, but I feel like we're in just a little bit of a different vein. And I was asking the Lord today, what is it exactly that you want to do? And saying, I feel like he said, I want you to do something that moves the body forward. And so I was like, okay, well, that's good. And I was like, how do you want to do that? So immediately I had a scripture come to mind. And so I go and I'm like, yeah, that's probably really good. And I was like, no, that ain't it. But anyway, I want to share a few things tonight that I believe will just be hopefully somewhat practical, but help us to maybe understand a little bit about where we are and what the Lord is doing in the body of Christ. And I think that is the theme for me right now, is that what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is not just for this body. It's not just for Awakening. I really do believe that what he's doing is giving us a glimpse into what's happening in the body. And when I say that, I don't necessarily feel the responsibility or the pressure to get that out to the whole body. You know what I'm saying? If it happens, it happens. But that's not a pressure that I feel. But what I feel like it's doing is it's opening our eyes. And when we see it, we're able to say, yep, that's exactly what Holy Spirit has been saying to your heart and to my heart about what is going on. And so I'm going to read a verse of Scripture. Several years ago, I did several weeks on this one verse of Scripture in Acts chapter 9. And I bet you I did almost maybe 12 weeks on this one scripture, whether you all knew it or not. It was about 12 weeks. And this would have been back when we were in Research Drive. But I believe that it's so full of just life for us today. So it's in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. There is a ton of immediate change that happens in Acts chapter 9, okay? And what Acts chapter 9 is most noted for, does anybody know? Does anybody know, without looking at it right now, put it down. Does anybody know what Acts chapter 9 is most noted for? Nope, that's Acts 16. Who said it? Yep. The Damascus Road conversion. Yeah. Acts 9 is most noted for the Damascus Road conversion, which is why it's really, really interesting that the headings in there, and that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm just going to teach just a little bit. I won't be super long, but just give you a few things. It's most notably the Damascus Road conversion, but then there are tons of things that set in motion drastic change in the body of Christ, okay? So Acts chapter 9, obviously, is several chapters before we get to Antioch. But it is so pivotal for what I feel like the Lord wants to do. So Acts 9, 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So I just want to read that last sentence again. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were all multiplied. When I, that series that I just referenced that I did years ago, when I started to preach that, I really believed that I would preach on like the fear of the Lord for like just a couple of weeks, and then I would jump into the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and it totally flip-flopped. The Lord began to wreck my life around the fear of the Lord. And I'm sure Rebecca can remember that, because we did a deep dive into the fear of the Lord. It's when we begin to just acknowledge that the fear of the Lord was in the Hebrew, it was reverence as to one's husband. And it was so connected to intimacy and nothing that would scare you in any way. I actually preached for weeks and weeks and weeks just on the fear of the Lord, and then eventually got to the comfort of the Holy Spirit, which was amazing. But tonight I want to talk about the comfort of the Holy Spirit and just what's available to us around that, okay? Walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit removes our dependence on the voice of reason. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit removes our dependence on the voice of reason. Why is that important? That's important because we're always looking for confirmation from somewhere. We're always looking for affirmation from somebody, something. And if we're not walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it leaves us open to so many different voices that can affect what it is that the Lord is actually trying to communicate to us, okay? Now, I am a firm believer in Romans 8:28. What's Romans 8:28 say? Say it again?
All things work together.
Yes, all things work together for good. The more silent you are on scripture questions, I'm going to continue to just hammer them out there, because y'all going to get in scripture and memorize it, get it deep. All things work together for good. So what am I saying? Even in missteps, because this is a core value that I believe that we have tried to live our life by, specifically coming out of strong religion, and that is God's plan for my life makes room for human error, okay? His plan for my life makes room for human error, and I'm really, really grateful for that, because I'm really good at erring as a human. So, but if we do not have the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, our dependence can then be on the voice of reason, and then we will live our life based on everything that just makes logical sense. What I have found out, this is just what I have found out, is that most of the time, the biggest revelations that God has given me make absolutely no sense logically. Has anybody else experienced that? Like you understand even principles in the kingdom, like the upside down principle in the kingdom. What's the upside down principle in the kingdom? The upside down principle of the kingdom is that you actually give and then you get. You lay your life down and then you gain it. You see what I'm saying? It's totally upside down from what logic says. And so walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit removes our dependence on the voice of reason. Reason demands, listen to this, that every step makes sense. Reason demands that every step makes sense. Faith trusts that each step is sacred, even if it doesn't make sense. Just let that sit there a minute. Faith trusts that each step is sacred, even if it doesn't make sense. Okay, now this one messes with me a little bit, but I want you to hear this. This is so important, guys. This is one that the whole body of Christ should hear, okay? So if you're writing it down or you use social media, this is the one to put out there for everybody, okay? I want you to listen to this. The Holy Spirit does not come to merely confirm what you already know. I'll finish it, then I'll explain. Holy Spirit comes to guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit does not come to confirm what you already know. He comes to guide us into all truth. What do I mean by that? There are so many times in my life where I'm looking for that confirmation I was talking about, and what I want Holy Spirit to say is what would line up with what I already know or think I know in the moment. Or better yet, what I feel. That's a good one. What I feel. Well, I just feel like this is what Holy Spirit's doing. Holy Spirit didn't come to confirm what you think you already know. He actually came to lead you into all truth. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't times that your discernment is right on and he is confirming what he has already given you. So I'm not suggesting that that's not part of it. But what happens is sometimes we get stuck in the trap of if there's a word that comes that is corrective or it's opposite of what I think I already know, then I can reject that because it's not what I was feeling in the moment, right? And remember what I've taught before. Your feelings do not justify truth. Your feelings justify what you believe. And so what Holy Spirit came to do, according to John chapter 16, verse 13, is to lead us and guide us into all truth. What does that mean? That means that he leads me and guides me even if what I believe is truth in the moment is contrary to what he's trying to say to me. Does that make sense? So he doesn't come just to confirm what I think I already know. Are y'all okay? I see some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. Is that sparking any questions or are we good? Does that make sense to you all, what I'm trying to say? I'm not saying he doesn't confirm things that you do have knowledge of. He does, 100%, right? And he's the one who gives us gifts of knowledge and words of knowledge and all of that. But there are times if I'm walking closer with the voice of reason, then what I'm expecting is Holy Spirit to confirm what I already know in my spirit, not what actual truth is.
Yeah.
And it may not be what I already know. It may be what I want to know. Does that make sense? I want him to confirm what I want in this moment so that it looks like the way I thought it would look and it is worked out the way I thought it should be worked out. And that's not how Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit comes to lead us and guide us into all truth. And when we are dependent on the voice of reason, then that becomes the dominant voice in our life, okay? And the journey of removing ourselves from this idea of voice of reason, it requires that sometimes we leave the safety of predictability so that we can explore the vast expanse of possibility. That is where the faith life comes in, living in the faith realm. That I don't live my life with God specifically based on what I can predict, but I live it based on what is possible. Do you understand that faith principle? It's not that I'm looking at this and saying, you know what, this is exactly what it's going to be because I already know how that ends. No, it's if I have no idea, I'm going to say yes to walking the path with you when you're lighting every step and then when you show me the full picture. I'm going to walk in that journey. And that is walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit and understanding this, that I actually erased this from my notes and was not going to talk about it at all, but here we are. The Holy Spirit is violent about presenting himself. Go read Acts chapter 2 once again. A rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire set on each of them. He was violent about ripping the heaven open so that he could come and be comfort. So what does that mean? It means he's violent about bringing me comfort. And one of the things that happens when we walk with the Holy Spirit is we'll say things like, oh, he's really trying to get me out of my comfort zone. But that couldn't be further from the truth because that would be him walking outside of his character and his nature. He is a comforter. And so he is violent about comfort and ripping the heavens open to come to us. And what he's saying is, if you walk with me in a continual relationship, though it may not look like what you think it's going to look like, I am going to continually keep you in the place of comfort. Even if it doesn't look like comfort at the beginning. Is that okay? All right. Complacency comes because we value the voice of reason above faith, and it robs us of the opportunity to dream with God about what could be. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit removes the burden of having to make a reasonable decision and allows you to use your spirit-led imagination. That jumped off the page to me as I read that. And I probably wrote this, I don't even know how many years ago, but I felt like the Lord wanted to release in this room tonight the ability to partner with your spirit-led imagination. Seriously, what can you really dream about? What can you really dream about with God? What can you really put to paper or put to words or to a voice memo that you are dreaming with God? Not that makes reasonable sense, not that you've seen someone else do, but something that is coming from the comfort of the Holy Spirit, released to your DNA. He created you. Listen, God is a creator, right? We know that in the beginning God created, right? So that means if we're made in His image, then we all have some level of creativeness on the inside of us. Now, He didn't give one person all of it, but He gave every person some creativity in their life. And so that DNA, the DNA of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in you, bears witness to the coming of the Holy Spirit, who is on earth with us now as the governor of the kingdom of heaven, right? And so the DNA matches and it mixes. And what happens is He begins to release ideas. He begins to release creativity. He begins to release thoughts. He begins to release songs. He begins to release books. He begins to release business ideas. He begins to release all of these different things so that we can partner with Him. And it cannot be left to something that makes reasonable sense if it's actually coming from heaven. I used to say this all the time because, you know, when I was young and I would talk to older people and ask for wisdom on finances and all this stuff, they would say, listen, what you want to do is you want to do something that is good common sense. And just to be frank, I am a very, very logical person, okay? Like, I'm very logical, very logical. But I'm not, and by the definition of the world, common sense would come easy to me. But here's what I realized. I don't want anything that's common. Because most of the time when people are talking about common sense, they're talking about the easy way out with the smallest return and the smallest possible risk and the smallest possible, you know, influence in what's going on. And that's not what I believe God came to do in the body of Christ. And so what happens is if I'm walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit and He says, hey, I want you to I want you to write a check for the full amount in your bank account. Well, that doesn't, there's nobody that you're going to go to that's going to say, you know, that makes good common sense. But if I'm walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I'm not looking for the voice of reason to talk to me. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what truth is in that moment. Is that okay? So complacency comes because we value the voice of reason above faith. What happens is this causes us to create tunnel vision. I'm going to stop. I've got a lot more, but I'm going to stop so we can get into worship here. I'm going to give you a few things that are super practical in just a moment. Is it okay if I go like 5 more minutes? Are y'all okay with that? Okay. All right. What happens when we're walking in this place of complacency and I hate complacency. I really do. I hate complacency. It wears me out. Complacency is so kin to normal. And if you don't know it or not, my core belief is that normal sucks. I don't want to be normal, right? Normal is divorced. Normal is broke. Normal is busted. Normal is what the culture says. Normal is all of this junk that the culture is pushing at you and doing all of these things. And I don't want anything to do with that. Let me be out there if I'm connected to the kingdom, okay? So complacency is kin to normal. What happens is we get tunnel vision, okay? And tunnel vision is the enemy of unity because it causes us to focus only on what benefits and affects us in the current situation that we find ourselves in. Listen, one of the things the enemy has done so well in the body of Christ is he has brought this idea of tunnel vision so that you see only what you're dealing with in the moment. And you will make decisions based on what you see in the moment. You'll make decisions based on just right here, what's in front of your face, instead of being able to zoom out and see what's happening. right? And complacency causes you to focus on what is right here in this moment and not move from it. And if you're not careful, the enemy will use that to keep you stuck in complacency and cycles that repeat themselves over and over and over and over again. Now, this is important because Acts chapter 9, what I just read to you, is full of challenges, it's full of changes, it's full of pivots that the church had to do. I want you to think about this. You're the first Christian, which they're not even called Christians yet. They're called Christians in Acts chapter 11 at Antioch, but just go with me. You're the first Christian that Paul comes to your house and says he wants to preach Jesus. Now, you got to think about this context. What am I talking about? Paul was a Pharisee. Paul held the cloak of Stephen as he was martyred. Paul was going to kill Christians who believed in Jesus up to this point. And now you're the first one. He comes to your small group. I've had a change of heart. I want you to think about it. It doesn't make any sense, does it? I might answer, but I'm probably going to have a friend on my waist, you know, that I'm answering the door with. Because what, hold up. I want you to think about that. These are the kind of changes that were happening in the body of Christ. Why am I telling you this? Because we've been talking about Antioch for so long. We've been talking about the idea that God asking us this question, are you willing to rethink everything? And here's what I want you to understand. Complacency, tunnel vision, and walking with the voice of reason will cause you to marry yourself to learned behavior. And what I'm trying to get across tonight is there is so much behavior that had to be unlearned in order for the church to actually become the church. Listen, it's all well and good and it's all powerful when the Holy Spirit's sweeping in and tongues of fire are coming and I got 120 around me. But if I'm the guy that Paul's knocking on my door saying, hey, I want to come share Jesus with you now, there's going to have to be some conversation. I'm going to have to figure something out because the voice of reason is saying, no, don't let that brother in. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you can look at this. If you just look at the headings in your Bible in chapter 9, the Damascus Road, Saul converted. The next one, Ananias baptizes Saul. So this is where Saul, his name is changed to Paul, right? Okay. Saul preaches Christ. Saul escapes death. Saul at Jerusalem. The church prospers. Aeneas is healed. Dorcas is restored to life. And then we immediately go into a prominent Gentile having a vision. Peter has a vision on the roof to come and talk to this prominent Gentile, Cornelius. What I'm getting at is there is so much change that was happening in the body at this time after the death, burial, and resurrection. And what happens is when God begins to speak to us and he begins to reveal things to us, we better be walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit or we can miss what he's doing in the moment. It doesn't mean that he won't come back around. I'm not trying to act like we're walking on a tightrope. But why would I not lean my ear in so that I can hear the first time instead of having to watch it go three or four times and missing what was available in the first place? Does that make sense? Okay. The early church had to be willing to leave behind any learned behavior at every level of life and in the church in order to move as the Lord directed, to seek a new expression as unto the Lord's direction, even if it was something they had never done before. All right, watch this. Complacency and learned religious behavior can potentially hinder the prophetic and stifle revelation, because it can cause us to miss what the prophet Isaiah was talking about in 43:19, behold, I do a new thing. Remember I started talking about that weeks ago? Because most of the time, even when we hear a new thing, we expect that it's going to look like something old that we already knew, so that we can have that confirmation and that affirmation. And sometimes we'll reject it if it doesn't look like something we saw before. And what I'm getting at is, what if in 2025, in this last quarter of the year, there actually are some things that he's saying, you know what, we need to unlearn some behavior. I'm telling you, guys, I have been in services where the power of the Holy Spirit is moving, and there have been people that I honor and respect, and they couldn't see it because it didn't look like they thought it should look, and it didn't sound like they thought it should sound. and it wasn't presented in the package that they thought it was supposed to be presented in. And what I'm getting at is that as the body of Christ, we really struggle unlearning what we've already known, right? Rick Curry told us it's really hard to unknow something you already know, and that's so true. But what I'm saying is we talk about the multiplication of the body of Christ in the book of Acts, but we don't talk about the mindsets that had to shift, the change that had to happen, the behavior that had to be unlearned, the message that had to be adjusted, because we're no longer talking about what the Torah says. We're talking about the fulfillment of the Torah that walked among us. Okay. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit can be explained like this. It causes me to walk in correct response to the Father. Walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit removes the reactionary response to God as well as circumstances, and it postures us to walk as we were created to, responding to the pull of heaven. I want to give you just a few things that are differences between reacting and responding. Okay? And then we'll be done. We'll jump into worship. Okay. When I react to something, most often it's rooted in emotion when I'm reacting. Okay? It's immediate, it's unfiltered, often defensive. Most often it comes from the soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, rather than the spirit. Most of the time I'm seeking to protect something, prove something, or preserve something. Sometimes reaction can actually escalate conflict or confusion. And most of the time, if I'm being honest, it's about control and not clarity. And one that I would say is most often it's directed by fear. If I'm reacting to something. Okay? If I respond to something, then by the grace of the Holy Spirit, there's a better opportunity for it to be rooted in wisdom, thoughtful, measured, and spirit-led. Comes from a place of presence, not pressure. Seeks understanding, resolution, or redemption. De-escalates, redirects, brings insight, and it reflects self-governance and maturity. And what I'm getting at is what the enemy wants to do is he wants to put you in situations where you just react because it's connected to the voice of reason instead of responding from the place of the Holy Spirit and his voice and his comfort. And one of the things we have to understand is just because I can't put my finger on what is comfortable right now doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not leading me into that circumstance. Okay? So the Holy Spirit didn't come just to confirm what I think I already know. He actually came to lead me and guide me into all truth.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.